Thank you very much, Chris. It's a real joy to be here. I'm thrilled. It was a lot of fun being here back in October at the fundraising dinner to share with the folks that were here, and I met your pastor then. And I'm really coming over here. I was just thanking the Lord for this opportunity to be with you. You know, I was staying at a hotel last night, and so this morning on my way here, I was waiting for the elevator. I was on the fifth floor, and it was taking a long time to get there, and all I could hear was ding, ding, ding as the elevator was going between the floors. And so finally, my doors opened, and I stepped on the elevator, and there was about seven other people there. And, you know, you're kind of nervous, you know, so I just sort of said, wow, there's a lot of bells ringing this morning. And one lady said, we don't hear anything. That's all in your head. So I don't have bells ringing in my head this morning, but I thought that was a pretty good joke on her behalf. As Chris mentioned, you know, I've been with missions for a long time. I actually went to the mission field when I was 2 years old. Chris mentioned that I had some time in Ecuador, grew up in Ecuador and Peru in Latin America. My parents went to Toronto Bible College in those days. My dad was a farmer. Son of a farmer, and he was the first one of his family to go beyond grade 8 education and went to Bible college, and shortly after that, they went to Latin America. Before then, he was ordained in the Associated Gospel Church, and we went out as missionaries with Child Evangelism Fellowship. And while I was on the mission field with Child Evangelism Fellowship, we lived very close to the HCJB compound. HCJB was a Christian radio station. It was actually one of the pioneer Christian radio stations, started back in the 30s, and was reaching the world with radio, with shortwave radio. And so I grew up knowing about radio. And the kids that I played with on the playground, their dads were transmitter operators and antenna riggers or studio maintenance guys or on-air people. So I knew all about radio, and I knew all about the power of radio. So later, when we moved back to Canada, and I got into high school and started to get an interest in electronics, I realized, hey, this is something I could do as a career, and I also thought, I too could be a radio missionary. So that became a passion of mine as a teenager. I wasn't living for the Lord, but I thought, one of these days I'll clean up my act, I'll get serious with my faith, and I'll go serve the Lord. And that did happen. The Lord intervened in my life. I rededicated my life to Him, and I rededicated my life to missions. And so I went to Conestoga College to learn electronics so I could be a missionary, a radio missionary. And God worked things out so that we were able to join Trans World Radio. And so for 41 years, I've been serving Trans World Radio. And we've been using technology to reach the world with the gospel. So my calling into missions was to use my technical skills to support missions, to help the gospel, to be a behind-the-scenes person supporting the work of the gospel. And that was my calling into missions. And the Lord, for some reason, led me into leadership. I became a CIO, Chief Information Officer, Vice President for Latin America and the Caribbean, and then Vice President for Digital Ministry. So it was interesting. It's been really fascinating to combine technology and leadership in missions to reach the world with the gospel. So that's sort of a real quick background on my history. Now here I find myself as the president of Trans World Radio Canada. And when I started out in missions, I never believed that this is where I would end up with this responsibility. I ask for your prayers because leading a Christian ministry is a huge responsibility. And it requires a lot of wisdom, and it requires help from God because it's not something any one person can do alone. It requires a team of people, and it requires the Lord's help. I was wondering this morning if you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, and I'd like to read for you a very, very familiar passage. It's a passage that many people use as a missions theme or a missions conference theme. I've been to many missions conferences over the years, and quite oftentimes I hear these verses, specifically Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And we know this as the Great Commission. And like I say, it's used very often as the biblical basis for missions. And I would like to say, though, that really there is the biblical basis for missions, but I see the missions is the basis of the Bible. Not only is there a biblical basis for missions, but missions is the basis of the Bible. Because if we look in Scripture and you go back, say, to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 12, the Abrahamic covenant, and God says to Abraham, I will make you a blessing, and through you all nations will be blessed. And we know that through Abraham came Jesus, and through Jesus came salvation to the world, to the not only the Jewish nation, but also to the Gentiles of the world. And so there's an unbroken chain right from Genesis, this verse in this passage in Matthew, and right through to Revelation, where you have people from every tribe, nation, and tongue before the throne and giving praise to the Lamb. And there is this unbroken chain of God's purpose for the nations of the world in Scripture. And we can read it as we read Scripture. And it's really exciting to see that. So this is just one of those verses in that chain of a theme throughout our scriptures that is promoting and talking about God's vision for the world. And so we read, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission, though, does not start here. The Great Commission starts earlier in the chapter, this chapter of 28 of Matthew. It starts with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is based on the resurrection. And the resurrection is the basis of everything that we as believers in Jesus Christ have our foundation on. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. And so let's go back earlier in the chapter, to the beginning of the chapter, and I'd like to pick up the story there, where it says, now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. A few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and so these verses might even be fresh in your memory from the Easter readings and the Easter celebration. But the events at the beginning of this chapter set the stage for Christ's great command to his disciples later on. So here we find Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. There, it's probably between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're heading to the tomb to see the tomb of Jesus. And we read in Matthew's gospel that Mary Magdalene was among the women who were looking at a distance, witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus. So here we find Mary Magdalene again in the narrative, the passion narrative. And all four gospels tell us that Mary Magdalene was present when they laid Jesus in the tomb. So here was a lady who loved Jesus intensely, witnessed his crucifixion, saw them laying Jesus in the tomb, and now she's on her way to the tomb again. We find her again. You can imagine what her emotions must have been. Here she had loved this man. She had put her hopes in this person as the Messiah, and then she'd witnessed his crucifixion and his burial. Can you imagine the emotions and what she was feeling in her heart? So instead of a tomb containing the body of her beloved Jesus, the women find an empty tomb and an angel. So already stunned by the events and the effects of the events of the last couple days, no wonder that the angel had to say to them, "Don't fear, don't be afraid." They were probably shocked beyond description. And the angel's words to the women, "He is not here, he is risen," are very important to us in our faith and what we believe about the resurrection. These words here counter the words of some and the beliefs of some and the teachings of some that Jesus wasn't really physically raised from the dead. Jesus was a good man, and he was resurrected in spirit. He really wasn't physically raised from the dead. Some people have deconstructed the faith, deconstructed of what we believe, and this is what they're teaching, is that Jesus is a spirit. He wasn't really a real person who raised from the dead. But I think if that were true, then the angel would not have said, "He is not here." The angel would have said, "He's everywhere." But the angel said, "He's not here. He is physically somewhere else. And you need to tell the disciples to go and be where he is." So this is a proof in Scripture that Jesus' resurrection was physical. It was real. And Jesus is alive and seated at the right hand of God today in heaven. Now, another point here that's very important in these Scripture, in these verses, is that the angel says to the women, hurry. He says to them, go quickly, is the words that he says to them. Go quickly. Now, he's not worried that they're going to stop for a latte and bagels on the way to go to see the disciples. What he's trying to tell them is that time is short. There is an urgency to this message. And I think sometimes in Christian ministry, we behave and we act as if we have all the time in the world and there's no money. That's kind of what I see a lot. And the reality of what we see in the Bible is that time is short, and God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. So we don't need to worry about resources. We need to pray and ask God for those, but we have to act because time is short. Now, if we look at our world around us today, we can see things really apparently spiraling out of control. The situation in the Middle East, the potential of expanded war in that part of the world. We have the war in Ukraine. We have wars and rumors of wars all over our world. There is political upheaval in many parts of the world. And it appears as if our world is out of control. I heard the other day someone say, you know, really, it could be that God is tightening control. And he's not losing control. He's tightening his control, and he's leading things to a cataclysmic event. And this says to us as believers that we have to hold our head high in these days and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because time is short and we don't have a lot of time to work with. I find it interesting, too, that the first people that were sent out with the good news of the resurrection, with the good news of the gospel, the first people that were sent out were women. They were sent to tell the disciples who were in hiding. And I find that very interesting. And in my growing up on the mission field and in my 40 years of work with Trans World Radio, I've really seen the effects of the work of women in missions. Women have made a tremendous impact on the world of missions, and I don't think they often get the credit that they deserve. When I was in Ecuador, there was a revival happening amongst the Quechua people, the Quechua people. The Quechua are the descendants of the Incas, and they were coming to Christ in droves, and churches were being established, people were being baptized. But that was all because of the work of two women. Olive Fleming and Muriel Erickson went to Ecuador at the turn of the 20th century and began to work amongst the Quechua people. They spent their entire career preaching the gospel and witnessing to the Quechua people. And in the end, their dwindling health meant they had to come back to the States. And there was only two believers from their whole work and none and no baptisms. And so their work was kind of regarded as failure because they'd worked all those years and had very little fruit to show for it. Shortly after they came back to the States, Jake and Mavis Claussen from British Columbia, Canada, went to Ecuador to pick up the ministry. They moved into the house that they had lived in to carry on the ministry to the Quechua people. And something happened then. The Bible was translated from English, from Spanish into Quechua. And the Quechua, I say Quechua is in Bolivia, Quechua in Ecuador, but the Quechua people had only up until then the Spanish Bible in their hands. And when they saw that the Bible had been translated into the mother tongue, they said, "We thought Jesus was a Spanish Jesus. We can believe in a Quechua Jesus." And this revival happened, but that would never have happened without the seeds that were planted by Olive Fleming and Muriel Erickson. So as we see these women being sent out as the first messengers of the resurrection, I think it's very important to recognize the contribution that women are making, have made, and are making around the world in the gospel. So then we go over to the Great Commission, and we finally end up here. And Jesus says in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And I thought, yeah, okay, we know that he has been given that authority. But what I really love about the Bible is that there are passages written centuries prior to events that were prophecies and depict events that have happened and will happen in the future. And in Daniel, you don't have to turn there, but Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel has a vision. And here's Daniel's vision. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." So when Christ says, "All authority in heaven has been given unto me," this situation shows, illustrates that time and that place when Jesus was given all authority on earth, on heaven and on earth, as the resurrected, victorious Christ. And this is the message now that we take out to the world. So we in Transworld Radio have been focusing on this spring on the theme, how will they know? How will they hear that message? How will they hear the message of the Great Commission, the message of the resurrection? And so we're looking at the work that we're doing and highlighting the work that we're doing in hard, hidden, and hostile places. Our world today has places where the gospel is fruitful, preaching the gospel bears much fruit, and where it's relatively easy to preach the gospel. There's also places that where preaching the gospel is very difficult. There is places in the world where people are hidden and tucked away and in obscure places where they're hard to reach. How are they going to hear the message? And then there's hostile places we know of today where preaching the gospel can get you thrown in jail or killed. So we're talking about what Transworld Radio Canada is doing to reach hard, hidden, and hostile places with media. And God has given us some amazing tools and some amazing ways to do that. Now, on this next slide, we can see the footprint of Transworld Radio International's radio ministry. Now, this is quite amazing when you look at that and you see those areas that have shaded there in the world. This represents the local radio signal sound of our coverage of our radio transmitters around the world. This is a tool that God has put into the church's hands that can reach 80% of the world's populated surface with gospel programming. This is something that God has put together, God has built, and Transworld Radio has been given this, the church has been given this, and in over 320 languages every day, we're broadcasting the gospel to those parts of the world. Today in North Korea, the gospel will be preached. People will get into basements and hidden places, turn on a radio, and listen to Christian programming broadcast from our station on Guam. In Afghanistan today, the gospel will be preached over the radio. And this is a tool that God has given us. Not only, though, do we have those antennas, there's another coverage here you can't really see on this map. It's the entire world, because we also have digital means. We have the internet. And so wherever there is the internet, there are apps, and there is media, there's streaming audio, there's online radio stations. We have all of these digital means as well that we're using to, in those 320 languages, to preach the gospel over the internet. So yes, there's still people who don't have internet, and there are still people who have not heard the message, and so we carry on to bring that message to these people. This next slide shows the coverage of a world where Transworld Radio Canada is working. Transworld Radio Canada is a partner of Transworld Radio International, and so we work very closely with International, and we support, in Canada, we support a lot of the projects that TWR International is doing around the world. We believe in partnership, and so we partner with them. So you see those gray countries there, that gives you an idea of the countries where Transworld Radio Canada has projects. So we have a very large reach as well as we collaborate and partner with TWR International. One of the means, too, that we're getting the gospel out is through media players. I have one with me here today, and these are very low-cost media players, and we've been distributing thousands of these around the world. And what makes these things so cool is that we've got this little SD card right here. You can hardly see it. And so we can load all of the programming in any language that we have on there, put that into the player, and then that player now is a voice for the gospel in that language. And this one, I think, is in Mandarin.
我爭鬧,萬民,為什麼謀算虛妄的事?
So we've been distributing thousands of these. Now, this SD card, when I was started out as a missionary, all of our broadcasts were done over tape, reel-to-reel tape recorders. And so we had a room, probably about the size, square footage of this area here, where we kept the archives, we kept the tapes, and we had rows and rows of shelves with tapes. And that entire room, all of the programming in that entire room would fit on that SD card right here. So even as a technologist, if you would have said to me back then, hey Steve, one day everything that's in this room will fit on something that big, I'd have told you that you were crazy. So it just shows how technology has changed over the years. Another project that we're working on right now is we're not only focusing on the world, we're focusing on a project called Culture Cross. And Culture Cross is something for Canada. It's a, I'll read here what our promotional material says on Culture Cross. Culture Cross curriculum has been created to help individual Christians and church groups in Canada begin to explore cross-cultural ministry. From a compassionate understanding of cultures of others, fueled by God's word, and be challenged to put what they learn into practice. Individuals who have a desire to obey God's command to make disciples of all nations, but who feel equipped or unexperienced in cross-cultural ministry, this is who Culture Cross is for. And this material is appropriate for older, youth, and adults here in Canada. It will benefit those already in heavily multi-ethnic environments, those in multi-ethnic church communities, and those preparing for future cross-cultural ministry opportunities. So it's a video series. It's 12 videos with a Bible, a study program. So you could use it as an adult Sunday school class study. And we're hoping to release that in this fall. So stay tuned. You'll be hearing about Culture Cross. The videos are quality done, and the whole material has been written by our TWR team. And it's an excellent product, I guess you can call it that, for the church that I think will be a great benefit to the church in Canada. So stay tuned for that. Now, I mentioned that TWR is reaching people in hidden places. I had the opportunity to experience this firsthand. So hidden people are those who are isolated, and the gospel is the access to the gospel for these people is very limited. And I was in this next slide, you can see the beautiful country of Bolivia, and I was invited to go to Bolivia a short while ago, and then the team in Bolivia said, we want to take you up and show you our ministry up in the mountains, in the what's called the Altiplano. It's the high plateau, 12,500 feet above sea level there in Bolivia. You might say, well, those mountains don't look that high. But if you consider that lake bed as being 12,500 feet, those mountains really are high. It was really hard to breathe at times up there. If you move too fast, if you walk too fast, or if you have to go up a little bit of a hill, you find yourself pretty out of breath. And so they took me up into the high Altiplano, and they said, we want to show you a Bible conference. And I said, well, that sounds great. Let's go to this Bible conference. So they took me outside of town, and we drove on a main road for about an hour. And then we turned off onto a dirt road, and we drove for about another hour, and we ended up in a field, in a little village called San Juan. And San Juan was just a few adobe huts and this big empty field. Somebody had taken poles and put them into the ground and spread tarps over top. That was the conference center. And this next slide here, you can see that conference center. In the background is the tarps. That pile of wood in the foreground is for the kitchen. Because at that altitude, there aren't a lot of trees. And so they hauled in all of the wood for that conference. I thought, well, where are the people? I said, who's going to attend this conference? And so the team there said, well, we've been broadcasting over the radio announcing the conference. People will come. And sure enough, trucks started to pull into that field, like 3/4-ton trucks with a box on the back covered over with a tarp. And the tailgates opened up and people started pouring out. That was the public transit system. And before long, we had 500 people at that Bible conference. And there in the, off to the left, you can see some pots and pans on the ground. That was the kitchen. They started to make fires, cut up meat, and that was to feed the attendees at the Bible conference. Everybody ended up sleeping underneath those trucks. That was where the people slept during the multiple days of the conference. And they had come to hear the people who they have been listening to over the radio. And so after the conference, one of the conferences, this man walked up to me, and he's a Quechua farmer, and he spoke Spanish, and I speak some Spanish, and so he said to me, are you with Transworld Radio, Radio Transmundial? And I said, yeah, I said, I am. And he said, I want to thank you for what you're doing. I said, well, tell me more. He said, ever since I was a child, my family has gotten up at 4 a.m. to listen to the radio broadcasts. He said, we start our days very early because we work in the fields. Oftentimes we have to hike up to where our fields are in the hills. So he said, we're usually getting going about 4 a.m. And he says, your broadcasts are on at that time. He said, I'm a believer because of radio. He said, I've been discipled because of radio. He said, I'm an adult and now I'm still listening to the radio. He said, I know my Bible. He said, I'm a disciple of Christ because of radio. He said, thank you for what you're doing. And so I was just really touched by that, that this guy, isolated high in the Altiplano, in a farm tucked away in a valley somewhere, was able to hear the gospel, mature in his faith, and know the word of God because of media. So the word of God is going out amongst that region. People are responding. This is a baptismal service. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ, Quechua believers, on the side of a creek bank praying. And in this next slide, you can see where people are being baptized into the faith because of the media and the broadcasts. We're also ministering in hard places. Hard places are places where that people have access to the gospel, but life is hard. And also, it's hard to carry out your life there, to carry out your life as a believer. And one of the places where we are doing that is in the country of Cuba. So this next slide is just a street scene in Cuba. Yes, Cuba, you've probably been there, some of you may have been there on vacation. I've never been to the resorts in Cuba, although I've been to Cuba about five or six times. And we go there to visit and to talk to the listeners of Trans World Radio broadcasts. We broadcast to Cuba, the island of Cuba, from Bonaire. And the signal can be heard right across the island, AM, clear as a bell. I've been there and listened to the programs. I was back in Cuba in a year ago, and I was really just saddened to see the state of the country. This is a very hard place to live today. The economy in Cuba has completely collapsed. The revolution, which started out so promisingly with Fidel Castro, is bankrupt. Today, the revolution has nothing to offer the people. It's interesting how in Cuba, in the early days of the revolution was actually supported by the church, because Fidel Castro got rid of the casinos, and he got rid of prostitution, and really cleaned up society. And so the church was really behind the revolution. But then the revolution turned Marxist-Leninist, and in Marxist-Leninism, the Communist Party is God, and you worship the achievements of humanity. And so then the church became oppressed, and the church pastors were thrown in jail, and churches were closed, and people were persecuted for their faith. Fortunately, the Communist Party has eased up on the church activity. You can have a church in Cuba, you can preach the gospel in Cuba, but Cuba is a very, very hard place to live. I saw lineups for bread. I saw lineups for vegetables. I saw lineups for the bank, lineups to get into the hospital. Everywhere you go in Cuba, you line up. If you want to do anything. I didn't take pictures of those lineups. I just didn't have the heart to not dignify the people and to take photographs of them in that plight. But life in Cuba today is very, very hard. We drove across Cuba visiting people, and we would pull into a gas station, and many times they'd just turn us away and say, "No, we don't have any gas." Other gas stations would let us put 10 liters in the car and no more. And we waited for a couple hours to get those 10 liters. So we had a jerry can of 25 liters in the trunk that smelled the whole trip. And that was our escape so that we could get home. So we never went any further than what that 25 liters would take us home as we visited the country. But one of the great things about broadcasting the gospel or preaching the gospel in a place like Cuba and in other places of the world is the multiplication effect. So this next slide is a guy that I met, a pastor that I met in Cuba. His name is Alex Sadie. And Alex Sadie came to Christ back when it wasn't a good thing to be a Christian in Cuba. And Alex Sadie witnessed at work and told his colleagues that he had become a Christian. He was fired and he lost his job. So he and his wife said, "Well, if we don't have work, we may as well be ministers of the gospel." And so with the little knowledge that he had, he just went around sharing his faith. And eventually he established a church. But he began to listen to Trans World Radio. I'm sorry, he found the gospel through Trans World Radio when he became a Christian. And then because of that, he continued to listen to Trans World Radio and began to grow in his faith. And he would listen all week so that he would have something to preach on Sunday because he didn't have any theological training. Eventually, Alex Sadi decided that he needed to take the gospel to people that were hidden up in the hills. Cuba has a lot of tiny villages isolated back in the hills. There's only donkey trails back in to get there. So he has a donkey cart, and so every week he gets in his donkey cart and he goes up into the hills and he meets with different groups of people that he has led to Christ and discipled. And so he has a ministry up in the hills and then also then tells them where to get the radio broadcasts so they can listen to the radio between his visits. And so Alex Sadie is an example of the multiplication. We know of over 3,000 pastors in Latin America who have come to Christ through Trans World Radio, and today are pastoring churches. And so the gospel multiplies, and one person hears the gospel, and from that, many, many others hear. And Alex Sadie is baptizing people on a regular basis. They come to him, they've heard the gospel, and they've become believers. They want to be baptized. This is the baptismal service that I witnessed firsthand. And this is the first baptismal service I was ever at where the whole congregation gets in the baptismal tank. If you've been to Cuba, you know the warm waters of the Mediterranean. And so the whole congregation walked into the water, and we stood all around those being baptized. And it was just a real thrill for me to see this young man being baptized. Alex Sadie is there on the one side, and the guy with the hat on is Alberto Gonzalez, who is our representative in Cuba. And then there's the hostile places where Trans World Radio is also witnessing the gospel. And in hostile places, believers are persecuted and access to the gospel is restricted. And today, probably one of the most hostile places to the gospel is the country of Afghanistan, which you can see on this map. And Afghanistan is a place where today you're not going to go as a missionary. Anybody caught preaching the gospel would be immediately jailed by the Taliban. And we all know what happened in Afghanistan not long ago. I was very concerned when I heard that the Americans were going to pull out of Afghanistan, because my fear was that the Taliban would take over, and that's exactly what happened. The regime collapsed within days, and today the Taliban are in power, extremely conservative people, and they are prohibiting any gospel activity, any form of gathering or teaching or preaching of the gospel. Those people would end up in jail immediately and possibly killed or stoned to death for their faith. Every day we're broadcasting to Afghanistan. God miraculously gave us a very powerful AM transmitter. It's a 500,000-watt transmitter. It's in one of the Stan countries, one of the Central Asia countries, and it's within range of Afghanistan. That Stan country, we don't say where it is for obvious reasons, but that country is Islamic light, you would say. They are not conservative, and so they're allowing a Christian station to operate in the country. They see it as a business opportunity for them, and so we pay to have that station on the air, and it's our station, it's exclusively ours, but the money that we pay is currency that country wants, and so they see it as a business opportunity. We see it as an opportunity to reach hostile places with the gospel. And when you think of a hostile place or a hidden place, Afghanistan really fits the bill. It's a country, as you can see in this next picture, of both very remote and isolated places, vast areas of land with very low population. And then in this next slide, you can see the contrast. It's also a country of tightly packed cities and centers of dense population. So it's a very challenging place, even if everything were open to proclaim the gospel. In the situation where the country's in today, it's even harder. And nearly half the population of Afghanistan, almost 50% of the population, are under the age of 15 in that country. So there's a whole generation of youth growing up in that country that needs to hear the gospel message. And we have programming for youth as well on the air. I received this, another thing about Afghanistan too. I took that slide out, but it comes to mind, is that there are four children for every woman in Afghanistan. I think in Canada it's 1.3 children per is the fertility rate. In Afghanistan it's nearly four. So there's large families, and the population is growing because people are having large families, and this also is a challenge for us to reach those people with the gospel. But I have a, I want to close here with a testimony that we received recently from a young girl in Afghanistan. And this next slide is a depiction of her. I don't have a real picture of her. This is an artificial intelligence generated image of an Afghanistan woman. And so I put that here so just so we can capture perhaps what she looks like in her testimony. We have been ministering to people in Afghanistan through the years using what we've been using, a lot of us have at work, Zoom and Skype, teleconferencing. One of the great things about teleconferencing is that it's encrypted. So we are having discussions, Bible studies with people in Afghanistan over encrypted means, over teleconferencing means. And so we've been engaging with people. And we over the radio programs, we tell them how to a telephone number. They can call us, and we can tell them about how to get into these Bible study groups. So this girl wrote us, and I'm just going to read her testimony. I live in one of the poorest and most rural areas. My life has been bleak since the fall of the government. I completed my 10th grade, but with the closing of the doors of science and education, all of my aspirations and ideals were dashed, and the country has become hell for us. I was born into a poor Hazara family. For many years, my generation was subjected to genocide, and we were always mistreated by the government of the period. After the school doors were locked in our faces, I began learning English in my area, but sadly, the English language courses were also stopped. I was imprisoned like a bird in a cage, and every day I grew more and more disappointed. Every day we observed cruelty, injustice, and dreadful behavior of extremists on innocent people, minorities, and notably constraints on girls and women, which has given rise to my hatred and pessimism. I even despise my traditional faith. One day I suddenly came across TWR broadcasts on life and happiness in everlasting life. It was novel to me, and when I explored and researched about Christ, I discovered all excellent things in Scripture, the gospel, and I realized this is the way of truth and eternal life. It's also encouraging for me, and I'm determined to continue in this manner. But in addition to other issues, changing my beliefs is genuinely perilous for me. Ours is the only country in the world where girls and women are not permitted to work or study. Therefore, changing beliefs in our country is a crime that will not be forgiven by the government. And the penalty is either public hanging or being stoned to death. If someone notices a shift in my faith, I shall be killed by religious extremists. I'm terrified, and this is a significant fear for me. TWR programs are an inspiration to me. Please keep me in your thoughts and prayers. So maybe we could keep her in our thoughts and prayers. And I'll just close on this next slide with, again, the map of the world showing the different places where Trans World Radio has projects, Trans World Radio Canada has projects. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to move forward. We're in a time where of tremendous opportunity. We're seeing God supplying our needs, and we feel he's doing so that we can grow and increase our ministry and reach more people with the gospel. Thank you for this opportunity. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, as we look at the world full of hard, hidden, and hostile places, Lord, we know that you love and have a plan for those people living in those areas. Pray, Lord, that you would help us and all who are ministering the gospel, both here in Canada and around the world, that many more would be drawn to you. Please, Lord, give us encouragement and uplift our hearts as we live and serve you in our world today. Amen.